All right, so you are listening to Gaming on a Budget, brought to you by The Awesome Manor. I'm Tom Glazebrook.
And I'm Skylar Halsey.
And we're going to talk to you today about Magicka. So Magicka is a four-player game that was developed by Arrowhead Studios and published by Paradox. And it came out in January of 2011.
Was it really this year?
Yeah, it was this year.
That's great. I thought it was older.
No, it's only on version 1.4.3.2.
And it has a long way to go.
Oh, God. It has so far to go. Just to really give you a demonstration of how frustrating it was to play this game, we instated a rule when we first started playing it where we would play the game until it crashed.
Right.
And it would end up crashing about an hour into each session.
Yes, it was certainly a chore to review this one.
In fact, sometimes it would crash before we even started playing. And we had to actually forego the rule that we had already instated.
Yes.
So,
but it's a fun game.
Yeah.
When it doesn't crash.
That's what's so frustrating about it. Because it's fun. It's a great concept, which I think we should probably explain. How would you describe Magicka?
Well, personally, there's too many buttons as my first thought on Magicka. You are a wizard of sorts, and you control different elements and magical styles. So you have the four basics of earth, wind, fire, and water. But then you also have combinations of those, such as steam, if you press the fire button and the water button at the same time. Then you also have life. You have just magical beam.
Arcana.
Arcana. And lightning.
And shield.
And shield. Right, I forgot shield. So there are way too many buttons. And then you can combine them into all sorts of different spells.
You can cast each combination of these into three different ways. You can press shift and you'll do an area of effect blast around you.
Right.
You can press shift and left click, and it'll imbue your sword that you have.
Or gun.
Or gun, yeah. But even if you do imbue your gun, you still get a sword animation when you...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I was so bad at this game that I don't think I even got to that level of imbuing my weapon with any sort of magical abilities.
You can also push down on mouse button 3, which is your little scroll wheel.
Wheelie.
And you can cast it on yourself. Or you can just press right-click, and you'll fire it. Or usually it's a beam, because you usually include Arcana, because really it doesn't make any sense to make anything else besides, like, mines or...
Except for it's really cool to do flamethrower. I do like doing that one. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't have a beam, that's just fire, and then spreading it around at the people attacking you.
So the game itself, though, is usually four wizards. If you're playing this by yourself, you're playing the game incorrectly.
Yes, you're doing it wrong.
You will die so often from your own incompetence, and you're going to get some really cheap deaths as well. But
not that changes when you are playing with other people.
Oh, no, it's worse.
You actually die a lot more.
But you're able to get right back into the action with the revive spell, which you get right at the beginning of the game. The game would be so difficult if you didn't.
It would be impossible, actually, if you didn't have revive.
We played with three people in the beginning, and even in the introduction, we were dropping like flies.
Well, mostly through my incompetence, as this is the first time that I'd played the game.
No, it was shared. It was shared.
All right.
Like, one of us would be running, and then we'd zap that person accidentally with lightning, and then slow them down, and then they get crushed by this huge wall.
Right.
That was actually the main way that people died, if I recall.
Well, it's very difficult to control where your magic is going. Even in the more advanced spells, there's Thunderbolt, and there's Phoenix, and there's actually one that is Crash to Desktop, which points to the humor of this game, where you can actually crash your opponent to desktop, or, of course, your friend.
And when you do that, they disappear in this little blip, and a blue screen of death pops up, like a tiny one where they were.
Yeah. But I know that you like to use Thunderbolt quite a bit. It's very effective.
Oh, so powerful.
But it's very difficult to control.
I killed everyone on the team so often. And I think one of my favorite moments was when I cast Thunderbolt simultaneously as when Skylar cast Thunderbolt, and we ended up killing each other.
Yeah.
And the third person ended up having to revive us. But we were both at completely full health. I think that we had on shield as well.
I don't think I did. I'm not very good at this game. That should be restated, because a lot of the elements, it's so complicated that my mind boggles at the possibilities. And so the idea of being able to cast shield on myself, as well as making a shield in front of me, and then casting thunderbolts on a third entity, that just... it's a lot for me to understand.
It does require you to familiarize yourself with the game for long periods of time.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you can actually go through the spells. You can see what spells you've acquired by scrolling your mouse wheel, and they'll appear underneath you, as well as what exactly you need to cast.
Yeah, you get these little recipes, which is I didn't know that at the start of the game, but with Tom helping me, that was really how I was able to get more into the more complex spells instead of having it memorized, because that wasn't going to happen.
Later points of the game, when we got really powerful, we would sit in an area, and I'd be like, okay, press ASA space, or it was QF space. And we'd go through that motion several times. It's like it felt like a drill instructor.
But beyond that, though, it is fun once you do learn different spells. And it isn't like a lot of other games where it's like, okay, now you know how to just cast lightning at people, and you left click just like it's a gun. You actually have to, it's a little more in depth in this game, which is good. I think. Just a pain in the ass to learn when you keep crashing the game once every hour.
There's also an inventory system where you get certain buffs from the equipment that you pick up, which is limited to two things, really. You can pick up a different sword or weapon, and you can pick up a staff.
Right.
Which is great, because if you pick up a staff, sometimes they'll allow you to cast spells that you don't have access to.
Yes, which is very cool. Because the way that you gain your spell is through picking up books throughout the game. And that's what allows you to cast the more complex spells.
I think there are two per level. We missed a ton.
Yeah, we must have, because I don't remember. I remember like maybe one a level. But yeah, I'm sure that we did miss a lot. But that gets to a lot more of the whimsy of the game, which I don't think we've captured. There's so many ways to explore. There's so many different paths that you can take. And later in the game, you get teleport. I think we beat a level by accident one time, because we were able to teleport to the end much sooner than we thought that we had to. There was like this huge Mine of Moria type level where it was kind of a maze, but we were just like, oh, let's just teleport from this platform to that platform, and then we exited. But there was a lot more to explore.
The paths, though, aren't really that branching.
No, that's true.
It's a very linear game. But you're talking about the world and how it's whimsical.
Yes, I am. I'm doing that.
Yes, currently. And one of the great aspects of this game is that they created their own language for the people that speak to you.
Yes.
And when you have like a clearly defined character, like Vlad, your instructor,
the non-vampire,
is not a vampire.
Yeah.
They're usually incredibly funny if you sit and listen to the dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
The game is just full of these tiny jokes. Like, if you even just look at the map, you have the deep, dark forest, and then the other forest. And those are the actual names of the surrounding terrain. It's almost everything has that sort of quality to it.
The different weapons that you can pick up, you can find an M16, and one of the skins that you can wear is like a Vietnam-era soldier.
That's actually in reference to one of the, I think it was the best-selling DLC of last year, the Battlefield Bad Company 2 Vietnam expansion. And so Magicka had its own expansion, which was Magicka Vietnam.
There you go.
And I didn't know that. Yeah, when they first launched the DLC, it was one of the wizards from Magicka casting a fireball, so he had one side of him all lit up.
Oh, in the same way that Bad Company does.
Exactly.
That's right.
Beautiful.
My favorite character that I like to choose is they have a Reservoir Dog style where you have a handgun, and I like to have pink robes as I do this because I think I'm clever.
Oh, yeah, you can change what color you're wearing in
which
your
is
style.
Which also, there's a purpose. If you have black robes, or if you're a certain type of black-robed individual, you can't be healed.
Oh, it's that if you pick, like, the Tron or Space Marine armor?
Not Space Marine. That's the one I was thinking of. Because the Tron you can heal with lightning bolts, which is fun. Again, I don't know how to heal the Space Marine.
I don't think you can.
Oh, because he'll die for the Emperor.
Well, he has regenerate.
Oh, of course he does. Let's see. What else about this game? It's hilarious. The spells are complicated, but awesome. When the game allows me to play it, I thoroughly enjoy this game. Mostly because we're constantly killing each other. We haven't even gone into the bad guys, but the bad guys are difficult to beat and
are planning.
Yes.
If one person's casting water at someone and the other person's casting fire, that's going to cancel each other out.
Right, which goes into, again, the complicated nature. But also it's intuitive. I'm just slow, but I think other people would really pick up on how you cast these spells imaginative ways.
You can also combine your spells.
Yes.
You can cross the streams, and it'll become like a super spell or a super-powered version of whatever you're casting. Usually Arcana.
Right. Well, that's the only thing that you can really cross.
Yeah.
Is if you're using something, and then Arcana.
Right.
It's very easy to skip along in this game, to cut through the cutscenes, to get past the narrator, who is also Vlad, the non-vampire. But I would like to, in a later version of this game, be more patient with it and listen to the story, because the voice acting is so much fun. The made-up, like, step-down-from-Simlish language that they have is just a blast. And I, you know, just found myself chuckling often at this game.
The only thing that I remember is, it's kind of understandable, is they pronounced party Durka Durka.
Well, no, I also like, at the very beginning when you fall down this pit, they say, remember, this in their language, the safe word is banana, which is banana, and I just thought that was funny also.
So there's three ways you can play this game. You've got the adventure mode, you have PvP, which we never tried.
No, we didn't do that one.
And you have Arena.
Right. And Arena is a lot of fun. Even though you don't get the same comedic elements from the story, you get the basic arena where constant enemies are coming at you with different levels as you go. But it's very challenging, and it requires a lot of teamwork, which Tom took care of mostly.
And other random people that joined our lobbies.
That's right. But again, you're constantly killing each other. You have to have a sense of humor with it, because if you get frustrated easily, this might not be the game for you.
We found Summon Phoenix at one point, and I cast it. And this enormous fiery bird, you know, was flying, and I was just sitting there looking at it, and I was like, wow, it's so cool. And then it came down directly on top of me. So I think...
But it is really cool.
Yeah. And it killed me almost instantly.
Yeah.
So whenever one of us cast Summon Phoenix, which was not often after that...
Mostly just for me messing with Tom.
Yeah.
That's when it would be cast.
So you'd cast it, and then you'd scream, get out of the way. And you just hope that it wouldn't kill the person that cast it.
Oh, it'd kill somebody.
Yeah, but it would. Every time.
Every time. Yeah, it would have been good to learn how to utilize that.
Yep.
But
there was no way to aim it.
Yeah. Well, just like every other major spell in this game, there's no way to really aim. The major spells aren't really a point and click. It's a kind of face the thing you want to die, and then maybe it gets hit.
And we'll kill the person next to it.
Right, exactly. Because it's so much more fun that way. Right. Let's see. We've gone over the fact that it's a lot of fun to play. We've gone over the fact that the character... You don't get into so much character development in this game. You do get Vlad, the non-vampire. You do get a sense of the king, who's very replaceable with any fantasy type of king, except for this one is a little more badass than others.
The only thing that matters when it comes to most of the NPCs is their name. Because it's usually a reference to something.
Right. It's often a joke. We didn't complete the playthrough.
The adventure.
The adventure. That's the word. We didn't complete the adventure mode.
We didn't complete it for the same reason that this is my second time playing through it.
Mm-hmm.
And Dee and I didn't complete it. My girlfriend. We didn't complete it the first
Bragg
time. Yeah, my girlfriend. But I've got a girlfriend.
You're right. This is all going to get edited.
No, no. We stopped playing it, and I couldn't remember why. And it's because we got to an end of one of the acts, and we'd beaten it completely, and we were moving on to the next act, and it hadn't saved yet, and then the game crashed. So that was like 30 minutes of gameplay just lost, and so we ended up playing it. You had to start playing the act you just beat with the knowledge that perhaps you're going to lose all that data again. And we were just too frustrated. And then that happened again.
Yeah.
While we were playing on this playthrough.
Right.
And it was the exact same thing.
Even after several patches.
Yes.
Since when you played it the first time.
Yeah, there were two major patches that came out within a week of each other. And it was supposed to address major technical issues of the game. And it just didn't. It crashes maybe half as often. Maybe. I don't know. I haven't bothered playing.
You didn't have the stopwatch out waiting. And again, it wouldn't be frustrating if it had an autosave, but you do have different waypoints that when you get to, that's how you save the game. And they are, in the later levels, of course, too far between each other to warrant the crashes to take place.
Actually, if you quit at that point, those are just revive points.
Oh, really?
The actual save points are at the beginning of acts.
Goodness, how old school.
Yeah.
But which is very reminiscent of when I would play games on my PC and it would just shut down. I'd have to replay all the levels. But anyway, yes. So it's a fun game, despite its many handicaps, or one big handicap.
And it's usually on sale.
Yeah.
I think it's because they can't really justify you spending $20 on this.
Let's see. The other complaint I really have with this game is it's difficult to get in and out of multiplayer. Because when you guys started playing, it was hard to join you, right?
You actually can't join.
You can't. That's what it was. I didn't want to say that.
You start the lobby, everyone gets in, and then you start the game.
And so it's very difficult to play with strangers, just because if they leave, then you're screwed.
Yep.
So it's much more of a, hey, everybody, let's chip in and buy this together type of game.
And then if someone doesn't play for that night, well, fuck them.
Yes. They're not really your friend.
And soon it will be only you and some other diehard fan.
Who you don't even know his real name.
Yeah.
You both love Magicka.
And that's all that matters to you.
You don't really talk, but mutter which spells they should be casting at the time.
And cast Thunderbolt.
No, I don't know. I'm working on this Steam thing. Direct quote.
Oh, something that we didn't talk about earlier when we were talking about. One of the cool things that they did is your spells can interact with the environment.
Ah, we did forget about talk about this. No, it's great. That's one of the most frustrating and interesting parts of the game for me.
For example, you can freeze the surface of a lake so you can walk across it with ice.
And then on that same lake, you can melt patches of it so the enemy will fall through.
Yep.
Which is awesome.
Or your teammates, who will also die instantly if they fall in.
But it's still awesome.
Yes.
When there is a ledge, you can push enemies, as long as they're not like super heavy. If they're a light enemy, you can push them off the edge of ledges to die instantly, which is very useful when there's a mob.
You can, you can't cast lightning if you are wet. Like if you go
to
a puddle or get sprayed with water, you have to cast fire on yourself to dry yourself off by lighting yourself on fire.
And hurt yourself slightly.
Yes, a little. And then you can cast lightning.
Which is great because it's, of course, a chain damage like you'll see a lot with lightning powers in video games. But, of course, if your friend is in the middle of that chain, they're going to get shocked right alongside everybody else. Friendly fire is just a part of the game.
And if enemies are wet and you cast ice on them or frost, it'll actually freeze the water and encase them in ice and root them into place, which is really good for bosses.
Yeah, there was a whole boss. We tried to beat it, I think, like 3 times. And we just ended up Tom was casting shield, and then I was just freezing the boss throughout, I don't know, maybe 20 minutes. And that's how we beat it. That was the whole thing.
You're so good at that game.
No, I am awful at this game. It's just fun. That's really what it comes down to. There's too many buttons. There's 3 different ways to cast spells, which all makes sense. It all makes sense.
It's 4 different ways.
4. And then you also have a weapon, which you can use. So it's a lot. It's a lot to encompass. Oh, something we haven't touched on is the graphics, which are very simple. Very simple graphics.
But it still looks good.
It does. Absolutely. When you're freezing a lake, it is a very, I mean, I was going to say the word fluid, but that's not the right word here. It seems, it fits in. It works well, I guess. And then when it unfreezes, it melts and it works. It looks good. But it's simplistic. It's not going to stun you with its imagery. It doesn't have the rolling vistas of some other games.
Well, all in all, I'd recommend it.
I would recommend it after they get a couple more patches. As soon as they're able to really fix that crash problem, then it's definitely worth the $20. Otherwise, get it on sale.
Yeah, I meant to say, get it. I recommend it if it's on sale, which it probably is.
Right now.
As for the DLC, I don't know if we haven't really explored any of the DLC for it.
But it seems to be fairly regular, from what I understand, the downloadable content. They're always coming out with new stuff. It's always fun. But, you know, I don't know whether you should buy it or not, because a lot of it ends up getting incorporated into the game itself, such as what you were talking about with the Vietnam-era gadgetry and skin.
Yep. Okay, well, this has been Gaming on a Budget. I'm Tom Glazebrook.
And I'm Skylar Halsey.
And we'll talk to you later. Well, we'll probably talk to you in about 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, no, I mean, we'll give you a call. We'll hang out.
Yeah, all right. See you guys.
Has that music started yet?
Maybe.